start this morning. Psalm 33. And verse 12. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching of your word. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts and touch us, Lord, and help us to understand what it is you want us to learn today. Guide us into the truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This week, on Friday, we will be celebrating Independence Day. We're going to celebrate our country's 238th birthday. And this is a very special day in our nation. Right, to celebrate this day, businesses will close down, families will come together and have family reunions, the highways will be filled with cars as people travel from state to state, there will be parades and picnics and fantastic fireworks displays will be held all over America. July 4th is a great day in America, and it should be. What a tremendous thing it is that God has chosen to bless this nation in the way that he has. We're not like some nations that have to put up walls to keep the citizens from escaping. Our nation has just the opposite problem. We have to put up walls to keep out the multitudes of people who want to enter this great country. But as we celebrate this wonderful day in America with parades in almost every major city, I kind of feel like our parade as Christians is being rained on. Now, why do I feel that way? It's because America has never been so far from God as it is now. And America has never been as wicked as she is now. And America has never been more bankrupt morally than she is now. If the prophets of the Old Testament were here today, they would be preaching on the street corners that God's patience with America is running out. July 4th is a wonderful time in this nation, but while we're rejoicing in our prosperity, we had better come to our senses before it's too late. You know, in the past, this nation was blessed because of the godly men and women that stood for godliness. But today, this nation is no longer blessed because of its godliness. The only reason we're blessed today is because we're riding on the coattails of our godly ancestors. But those coattails are running out. The ancient landmarks that this country was founded on have been removed. And if the church and if the citizens of this country don't wake up soon, God is going to allow this country to experience some things it has never experienced before. I'm convinced that if things don't change, the judgment of God is coming. And this morning, I want to point out some things that we had better restore very soon if we want to avoid the judgment of God. Now, first of all, let me say this. We need God back in our government. We need God back in our government. Our Bible verse said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That word blessed means happy. Happy is the nation that makes Christ the Lord. But this country is in a mess morally and spiritually today, and the government that we live under reflects that. You know, one time a South American president said this: South America was settled by men who were seeking gold, but North America was settled by men who were seeking God. And that's true. All you have to do is study the history of this nation, and you'll find God throughout the history books. I guess everyone has seen the picture of George Washington at Valley Forge. It was freezing cold, but Washington and his men are seen on their knees in the snow seeking God. When the Continental Congress faced difficulties and they could not find the solution, Benjamin Franklin had the Congress of the United States kneel and seek God for the solution. Now, we know that other nations, other great nations have existed, the Medo-Persians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, and they were all great, but most of them have fallen by the wayside as superpowers because they were built on the wrong foundations. But America was founded upon godly men and women who led this nation in seeking God. They were dedicated to what the Bible taught. And I say this, to be honest with you, shame on Christians who will dedicate themselves to a particular party when they should be dedicated to supporting godly men and women in leading this nation, no matter what party they belong to. It's the godliness that ought to be the issue. Just as God used godly men to build this great nation, the devil today is using ungodly men and women to destroy the foundations on which this country was built. You know, not one of us would think about letting a surgeon put us on the operating table when we know that this surgeon is known for making bad decisions in the operating room. Why? Because we know that once we do this, we've placed ourselves in his care, and he might make some bad decisions, like taking out a vital part of our body that we desperately need. We would not dare to do such a thing with a surgeon, and yet we put ourselves in the care of ungodly politicians who rip out our God-given constitutional rights and oppose everything the Bible teaches. We as a nation have allowed these ungodly politicians to make us dependent on them so that they can stay in office. And I say this, wake up, America. Wake up. Do you realize already half of our income between income tax and sales tax and excise tax and property tax and every other tax they can possibly come up with, almost half of our income goes to taxes now, to the support of our government, and at the same time, many of our rights are being stripped away. You know, we live in a day and age when we now have children suing their parents. And we have, not only that, we have children who go to court and legally divorce their parents. And the state stands behind the children instead of the parents. I said a few weeks ago, our children do not belong to the state. They belong to the parents that God entrusted them to. Contrary to what Hillary Clinton says, it does not take a village to raise our children. It takes godly parents to raise our children. You know what? That village mentality, that's nothing but socialism. That's all that is. Now, I know that we have some failing parents. And sometimes you shake your head and you wonder, why in the world would God ever let them be parents? But this is something that has always been in existence and always will be in existence, and they will give account to God for their lack of parenting. And I know this. I know that some of the greatest people in this nation were raised in homes that were less than desirable. But at the same time, God tells parents to train their children. He does not tell the state to train the children. And this is just one problem with America. You know, we're in a situation now where we hear the liberal politicians saying, oh, that no one has the right to go into our bedroom, and they use that to condone the fornicators and the adulterers and the sodomites. Nobody has a right to go into our bedrooms, but they certainly don't have any problem coming into our homes and taking our hard-earned taxes to spend on the murder of millions of innocent little babies. You talk about a Holocaust. The abortionists of America have murdered more people than Hitler ever thought of murdering. It's a sad indictment on America when the most dangerous place to live in our country is in a mother's womb. That's a sad indictment on the country that we live in. And they think nothing of taking our hard-earned tax dollars and spending it on that. And they think nothing about coming in and telling us how to raise our children. And if we don't raise them the way they think we should raise them, they threaten to come and take our children away from us. Let me tell you something. That's the reason. That's the very reason. I'm warning all of you parents who have children. Let me tell you something. That's the reason that you need to get your children rooted and grounded and established in the Word of God. As young people, as young as you can possibly get it, fill their heads and their hearts with the Word of God. Because I pray this. I pray, now I know my kids are a little older, so they're not going to come and take my 21-year-old and my 19-year-old away. But I got a 17 and a 15 and a 12-year-old still. And I pray this, that if the state ever comes in and takes my children away for what their daddy's been preaching from the Word of God, I pray my children would have the courage to stand up and look them in the eyeballs and say, look, you can take me away from my daddy, you can take me away from my mommy, you can take me away from my home, you can take me away from my church, but I'm still going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to still do what's right according to the Word of God. I hope you trained your children that way, and I pray to God that I've trained my children that way, to stand up for the Word of God. I guess I've gotten a little off track. I guess my point is this. We need God back in our government is what we need. We need God back in our government. But let me also say this. We'll move along quickly. We also need God back in our churches. We need God back in our churches. I had someone say to me recently, Reverend, God is in all churches. And when somebody says that to me, I always have this question. Where do you find that in the scriptures? God is not in a lot of churches today because they don't want him. The Apostle Paul spoke about a man named Demas in 2 Timothy 4:10. Said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And listen, the church today has forsaken God for the same reason they love the world. You can go into the average church in America and there isn't 2 cents worth of difference between the people in those churches on Sunday morning and the people in the nightclubs on Saturday night. You know, there used to be a time in America when godly preachers across the country and in all denominations would get up and preach about worldliness. But many of these liberal preachers today know that if they preached on worldliness, they would soon be looking for a job. Preachers today, they can preach on anything they want to except sin. And no one will raise a word of protest. Why? Because many of our churches today are no more than beautiful buildings of social gatherings where people come together just to be entertained. You see, just because a group of people get together and build a building and call it a church does not mean God is there. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You see, if the people are not coming together because of Jesus and because of the preaching of his gospel, then he is not there. He is not there. We need God back in our government, and we need God back in our churches. And then third, let me say this. We need God back in our schools. Next to the prisons in this country, the nearest thing to hell on earth are some of our public schools. Not all of them, thankfully, but some. If you want the shock of your life, go to some of the public schools. What will you see? You'll see parents defending their children's misbehavior. You'll see students showing disrespect to the teachers. You'll find students that are wearing clothing that should never be allowed in public school. You'll find students fighting and threatening each other. You'll find male students and female students doing some pretty filthy things over in the corner. You'll find students using foul language. And you will find policemen stationed in our public schools to try and stop the violence in our schools. I repeat, next to the prisons in this land, the nearest thing to hell on earth is some of our public schools. Well, what's the problem? Well, one thing is this. One of the problem is that educators, administrators, and school boards, not all of them, but a lot of educators, administrators, and school boards think that the solution to the problem in public school is more money. More money. Listen. If a car manufacturer produced a car that didn't work any better than what some of our public schools are producing, everyone in that plant would soon be out of work because nobody would be buying that car. Well, the school system in America is an embarrassment to this nation. And all you ever hear is, we want more of the taxpayers' money. But that's not the answer. Think about this, if you would. Think about it. For many, many years, Americans went to school in an old wooden one-room schoolhouse where you got splinters in the bottom of your feet from walking in the hallways and classrooms. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have computers. They didn't have buildings that cost millions of dollars, but they got an education. And along with teaching the students how to read and write and do arithmetic, they taught them that character counts. They taught them that honesty counts. They taught them that politeness counts. They taught them that tardiness is unacceptable. And they taught them to read the scriptures. And they prayed. And they stood and they saluted the flag. And we didn't have 1/8 of the problems that we have today in our schools, which is evidence that money is not the solution. Think about it. 50 years ago, when the schools had very little money compared to today, these were the major problems. I researched this a little bit. The major problems: talking, chewing gum, running in the hallway, making noise, getting out of the line, dress code violations, and littering. You know what today that list is? Drugs, alcohol, pregnancy, suicide, rape, and robbery. We've come a long way, baby, that's for sure, by throwing lots of money into the school system. You know, in 1963, when Madeleine Murray O'Hare convinced the United States Supreme Court to throw God out of our public schools by saying you can no longer have Bible reading and prayer in public schools, you know what happened? We threw God out, but it was an open invitation for the devil to come in, and he sure did. He sure did. It's a mess. It's a mess. And I'll tell you the problem here. We have a school system that does not see anything wrong with the teaching of evolution, and they see no need to balance it out with the teaching of creationism. Well, I'll tell you this, after teaching several generations of people that they are nothing more than highly evolved animals, they are now acting like animals in the public schools. They're nothing more than animals. We have a school system that thinks the answer is to pass out condoms to students rather than teach abstinence and self-control. We have a school system that teaches our kids to respect the Hindu, the Muslim, the Buddhist. But anything that has to do with the Bible or the name of Jesus Christ is forbidden. And we have a public school system that is teaching our children that homosexuality is an alternate and acceptable lifestyle, using books like Heather Has Two Mommies or Daddy's Roommate. You see, this crowd of perverted-minded people have finally figured this thing out. They can't have children of their own. So they want to grab hold of the minds of our children in the school system and warp them into believing that homosexuality is an acceptable lifestyle. But listen, it doesn't matter how many they get to march with them in Washington. It doesn't matter how many signatures they can gather on their petitions. It doesn't matter how many elected officials they can get to vote their way. It doesn't matter how many school systems they can get to okay their agenda. And it doesn't matter how many so-called churches they can get to welcome them into their church membership. God still teaches that that lifestyle is an abomination in his eyes. Luke 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind. It is abomination. And when it comes down to it, what man thinks really does not make any difference. It's going to come down to what God says. You see, although I'm fully aware that all over this country this morning, congregations are singing songs like God Bless America. That's a beautiful song. It's a prayer that we sing to God. But like all prayers, unless we are willing to repent of our sins, God is not going to keep blessing this nation. That would be totally opposite from all the teaching of the Word of God. We need God back in our government. We need God back in our churches. We need God back in our schools. Well, that's the first half of my message. The second half is next week. But let me tell you this. You may be thinking, Pastor, that's kind of negative preaching on a week that we're supposed to be celebrating the nation's birth. Why would you preach something like that? Let me tell you why. Because my heart breaks over the moral decay that is destroying my nation. My heart breaks over. And I'm preaching this morning as a challenge to you. I'm preaching it as a call to pray and to open your mouth. Because if we don't pray for America as God's people, who will? Thousands. If we don't open up our mouths and warn people of their wicked way, who will? If we don't get out there and remind this country that Jesus and the preaching of his gospel are the answer, see, I understand that this preaching this morning is very negative, but you have to understand that as a God-called preacher, I have a responsibility before God to preach the whole counsel of God and not just the sweet, happy little parts. Like, you know, love and peace and joy and kindness in heaven. I love to preach on those things. But in order to be faithful to God and his word, I have to preach on things like sin and repentance and wrath and judgment and hell. Part of the pastor's responsibility is the ministry of warning. And let me just say this as we close. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, You have never repented of your sins personally. You've never received Christ as your Savior from sin. I got to warn you. I have to warn you that you're not on your way to heaven. You're on your way to hell. But you can change that this morning. You can change that this morning. You can change that because God loved you enough to send his only son to die on an old rugged cross to pay the price for your sin. He took upon himself the penalty that you deserved. And that same Jesus rose again 3 days later so you can have
eternal life.
And if you'll turn from your sin this morning and in prayer call out to Jesus and invite him into your heart and your life to be your Savior and Lord, you can get off the path, the broad way that leads to hell, and you can get on that narrow path that leads to heaven. You can take care of that this morning. Right there where you are, you can do that. Now, if I could have every head bowed and every eye